Good morning.
Roto experts.
To the end zone.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Hello and welcome back to the Roto Experts Daily Podcast. For today, it is February 12th, 2019, and everybody very excited because fantasy baseball is starting up again. Major League Baseball is here. And are you at the game? Do you just got a gut feeling? No problem. Now you can bet from anywhere, anytime with the all-new MyBookie mobile betting platform. With the MyBookie mobile platform, you'll enjoy the safety and convenience of at-home betting when you're on the go. Try it out today, and you'll never miss another winning bet. Head on over to MyBookie.ag and open an account with the promo code FNTSY, and MyBookie will match your deposit up to $1,000. Yes, that's right, $1,000. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code FNTSY, MyBookie.ag. Promo code FNTSY. I am Scott Engel, the managing director of RotoExperts.com. I am the king. I am fantasy. Going to be talking a lot more fantasy baseball this week. I actually have a mock draft tonight with our friends over at RotoBaller at 8 p.m. Eastern. Looking forward to that. My first mock draft of the season. And, of course, Tout Wars coming up on the weekend of March 17th. We'll be preparing for that as I try to get my best finish in the mixed auction. Yet the most highly competitive, highly decorated fantasy baseball leagues in the country. Not a lot of baseball news out there yet, but I'm really expecting some cleats to drop here in the next few days. Public reports from SNY indicating that the Yankees continue to check in on Manny Machado, but there's nothing imminent. Seems like the Phillies and the White Sox are still the front runners here, but I don't know what's going on here. It's here we are starting spring training, and two of the biggest names in the game, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, remain unsigned. We've talked a lot about Craig Kimbrel being unsigned as well. We'll have to see if that cleat drops soon. I think it's really the writing is on the wall for almost him to go back to the Boston Red Sox after you see that they've passed on just about every significant potential closer in free agency. It looks like they're just playing a wait-and-see game for Kimbrel to come back there. So if you're drafted today, you really don't know where Kimbrel's going to land, but I think good shot that he'll land in Boston, and I would speculate wherever Kimbrel is going to land, that he's going to be a very good closer. But the Red Sox right now, all they have is Matt Barnes. They obviously have a void. Craig Kimbrel doesn't have a team, so I think it's a matter of just the Red Sox and Craig Kimbrel coming to terms here. Manny Machado, the Yankees would have to move Andujar over to first base if that were to happen. It's a little bit of a surprise to me that a guy from Washington Heights has not actually landed with the Yankees officially already. And with Harper, we've heard talk most recently about San Francisco, but fantasy players really want to know where these guys are going to land. And then there's lesser names out there like Gio Gonzalez. We've heard Gio Gonzalez most recently linked to the Mets. And I think that would make sense. Right now they have Jason Vargas as their fifth starter. I think ideally maybe they'd like to have somebody better than Vargas, who pitched really well 2 years ago for the Kansas City Royals, but then wasn't nearly as good last year. Ideally, I think the Mets would like to have a better fifth starter. Gio Gonzalez can certainly help some rotations. Yeah, he's always going to kill your whip in fantasy. He's going to walk some guys, but if they play defense, decent defense behind Gio Gonzalez, he can always post serviceable numbers. Gio Gonzalez, he's really remade himself over the last few years, no longer has the same velocity on his fastball that he used to, but he's kind of remade himself as an off-speed pitcher, trying to improve his control, etc. trying to, rather than, blow the ball by batters, trying to confuse them, is really worked on, changing the scope of who he is over the last few seasons. And we really saw that transition period last year. But Gio's been around for a while. He's a smart pitcher and somebody you least have to watch in mono leagues. So the Pirates and the Mariners actually reported pitchers and catchers yesterday, and we're going to see a lot more teams reporting today, tomorrow, etc. Fantasy baseball is here. Going to be talking a lot about it. But as you know, rotoexperts.com is now NFL 365 days a year, and that means we're going to be continuing to talk a lot of fantasy football on this podcast. So, of course, we have to lead with the Kareem Hunt news. Kareem Hunt signing a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns before he was even disciplined for this off-field incident that was caught on video by TMZ. Already, there's been outcry about this from some women's groups, and you can certainly understand and respect their voice. And a lot of people supporting Colin Kaepernick, very unhappy with the Kareem Hunt signing. Prominent journalists like Mike Freeman tweeting about this, basically saying that it's okay for him to get away with this offseason, his words, paraphrasing really, that it's okay for him to get away with what we saw on video, but if he was to kneel like Colin Kaepernick, then basically he would be exiled. Now, Kareem Hunt, different in terms of what he can bring on the field to what Colin Kaepernick can bring on the field, but even after missing, what is it, like 2 years now, I still believe that Colin Kaepernick could be a better backup NFL quarterback than a lot of what you see out there. Obviously, there's something going on there. Kaepernick was a guy that actually took the 49ers to a Super Bowl, and then after that, his play started trending downward. Just look at Colin Kaepernick as a player. He was a great runner, and he can make some big plays, but the high percentage throws never really came easy to him. And eventually, defenses adjusted to him, and he became very, very erratic. But still, he could help a lot of teams as a backup quarterback a few years ago before he was exiled out of the league and maybe even now. But it looks like it's all over for Colin Kaepernick, but it doesn't look like it's over for Kareem Hunt. Now, you think back to when the video came out on Ray Rice, and there was a lot of speculation about whether Ray Rice's NFL career was going to continue or not. And what ultimately happened was Ray Rice, he was pretty much at, some teams were thinking, it seemed that he was pretty much not as good as he was in his prime, that his play was starting to fall off. So I think the combination of where Ray Rice was in his career track as a player combined with the incident actually led to him never playing an NFL game again. Now you have an instance of where we first heard rumors of Kareem Hunt to the Eagles, and it didn't happen, and the Browns actually pulled the trigger quicker than I think anybody expected here. So now he's a Cleveland Brown, and just a lot of talk out there about how performance really trumps character when it comes to the National Football League. Kareem Hunt is still very young and obviously very fresh in terms of his physicality and ability to produce for an NFL team. So I think a lot of us all assumed that he was eventually going to sign somewhere. To have it happen this quickly, I don't think a lot of us expected that. I think that was a little bit of a surprise and a little bit of a shock. And I think it's also very surprising that the Browns went out to sign him when they have Nick Chubb, who played so well during the second half of last year. And a lot of people, including myself, had him ranked as like a top 10 fantasy running back heading into next season. From a fantasy perspective, you have to wonder how this is going to affect Nick Chubb in the long run. Now, the first part is that the Browns signed Kareem Hunt before he was even suspended. And we don't know how many games he's going to miss. We've been down this road before with the Ezekiel Elliott suspension, where everybody took their wild guesses on how long he was going to be suspended, and most of us turned out not to be right. Everybody who's been watching football for a while tried to make their educated guesses, but when it comes to these sort of situations, you never, ever know what the league is going to decide. For all we know, he might get 4 games. For all we know, he might get 12. He might get a full year. What I'm saying is you know, if you're going to go out there and venture to guess how many games that Kareem Hunt is going to miss, just stop it, because nobody knows for sure. Nobody is going to know except for inside those doors on Park Avenue when they sit down and make a decision. There's a lot of variables that are going to be taken into account, including how the NFL wants to handle this after a lot of past incidences have kind of created bad publicity for the league. So don't go out and try to guess how much time Kareem Hunt is going to miss. It's really going to be a waste of time. But the Browns, they were willing to take a chance here. And how will it affect Nick Chubb's fantasy value? Well, it won't immediately. You can look at the quick reaction on rotoexperts.com from our Davis Maddock this morning. Davis seems to think that immediately that the Browns are missing a third-string running back. They have Chubb at the top of the depth chart. They have Duke Johnson. Then they have Kareem Hunt. That Kareem Hunt is a guy that after he misses all those games, he's going to have to get back into playing shape. He's going to have to get more familiar with the offense, with his teammates, etc. So it might take a while for him to get reacclimated to playing in the NFL again. But Kareem Hunt is so young and so talented. I actually take a different view on it a little bit than Davis does, is that the Browns, you know, maybe they spoke to some people here and got some more solid insight on what the league is thinking and how many more games he's going to miss. And I'm just speculating there. I don't know anything for sure, obviously, when I'm recommending you not to guess. But maybe they're looking at Kareem Hunt as a guy that can come in the second half of next season and really bolster this offense. He's a better pass catcher out of the backfield than Nick Chubb is. And you know, what does that mean for Duke Johnson? Is the writing on the wall for Duke Johnson not to be a Cleveland Brown anymore? So, you know, if you have Duke Johnson in a dynasty league, et cetera, you're wondering, but there's also the possibility, and I've seen this in a lot of published reports, including the Cleveland Plain Dealer, that this will give the opportunity for Duke Johnson to become even more of that satellite back and maybe even more of a pass catcher. They'll use him in the slot, et cetera. But still, I can't see him getting enough consistent touches to make a fantasy difference next year. This I was already very skeptical about Duke Johnson going into last season, and obviously this past season took a big hit in production and could be even a bigger hit in production. Now, Nick Chubb, you could probably look at him as an RB1 type for, say, the first half of the season, and I'm just speculating here. Like I said, I don't know how long Kareem Hunt's going to be suspended, you know, but then it's probably going to take a game or two or three for Kareem Hunt to probably get into rhythm. But once he's in that rhythm, the Browns can really threaten defenses with two outstanding, very talented running backs. And when I read the Cleveland Plain Dealer yesterday on Cleveland.com and also on the Browns website, lead me to think that this could really hurt Nick Chubb's value down the stretch next year, because they're talking about having Kareem Hunt as a luxury in a lot of these published reports that I read about. When it comes down the stretch next year and the Browns are making that playoff push that they seem to be moving in the direction of, especially when you look at how they finished this past season, you know, with all the enthusiasm about Baker Mayfield, that they'll have two outstanding running backs to threaten defenses with, and this will prevent Nick Chubb from getting overworked, getting more exposed to injury. And this is what I was talking about a few days ago with Christian McCaffrey and the Browns wanting to get the Panthers wanting to get a better backup for him, is that NFL teams don't want to see these these guys get as many carries as the fantasy teams do. They want to prevent the guys from getting overworked. They would like to have two very good runners, outstanding running backs, if they could, and give defenses two different looks because they're a little bit different in style. Kareem Hunt's a little bit more versatile than Nick Chubb. And also, they can keep these running backs fresh throughout the course of a game, and they can continue to wear down defenses in the second half because these running backs are – both of them will continue to come at defenses in different waves, and they'll be more fresh, and they'll play even better maybe in the third and fourth quarters because they are more fresh. And it won't expose either running back to more injuries. So there could be a timeshare down the stretch in Cleveland next year. And, you know, this is going to knock Chubb down a few pegs. I can't have him as a top 10 fantasy running back anymore when there's a threat of Kareem Hunt. Now, very soon you're going to see my my new rankings, early rankings for 2019 on rotoexperts.com along with Davis Maddock and some other of our writers and along with a staff consensus. Originally, I had him 8th. But I'm going to have to adjust this on Fantasy Pros, adjust it on rotoexperts.com to where I have to bump him out of the top 10 because maybe I'll get RB1 production for him for the first half of the season, but he could be splitting time during the most important weeks of the fantasy season. And maybe I can still depend on him largely from a best ball perspective, but from a week-to-week kind of outlook, it's going to make things very dicey from the long-term perspective. I think it stunned a lot of people that the Browns naturally stunned a lot of people that the Browns were the team to end up with Kareem Hunt when they already had that outstanding young running back in place that they liked so much that they traded Carlos Hyde away. But look, they want to have a lot of talent in that backfield and threaten defenses as much as they possibly can. So we'll see what happens here. If also he becomes a restricted free agent after next year, so there's a possibility you'll have to think about this too, that the Browns maybe want to trade Kareem Hunt at some point. You know, they jump on him first and you'll get a little bit out of him next year, and then maybe trade him for something, because if they do decide to deal him, and stranger things have happened, you say, why are the Browns going to sign him and then trade him? It does make a lot of sense. You know, they have a chip there. Maybe they're doing something smart here where they wait to see what the suspension is. And, you know, if it's not as heavy as they anticipate, there's a lot of teams out there could use a starting running back like that. So maybe it's a savvy move by the front office. Either way, Dorsey, the GM of the Browns, has pulled off something very clever here. And Dorsey's a guy here that we've seen. He was the former general manager of the Chiefs, and now he's the general manager of the Browns, obviously. He's willing to give guys second chances. He drafted Tyreek Hill, despite what happened with him in college. He drafted Antonio Callaway, and now he's given Kareem Hunt a second chance. He said he spoke to Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is very remorseful, and they're going to have a zero-tolerance policy that he's got to go through all these programs and everything before he's able to come back and get back on the playing field. And, you know, Dorsey is one of those guys where he's going to create a lot of controversy in the NFL because, you know, he's going to be marked as, you know, here's a guy with Tyreek Hill and Antonio Callaway and now Kareem Hunt that he's willing to overlook these off-field transgender questions and give these guys a sort of check second chance. So when a lot of people are complaining about this from the perspectives that you expect them to, that, you know, Ken Dorsey is a guy that's going to be in the crosshairs. But, you know, he's willing to go ahead and do it here. But with the Browns, I still expect them to be in the market for maybe another playmaker and wide receiver. From an on-field perspective, Obviously, everybody loves Baker Mayfield, and we would like to see the ascension continue. Now they've given him even more support in the backfield over the longer term. They have a great young tight end in David Njoku. They have Jarvis Landry had a very, very disappointing season, but if they're able to bring in another playmaker across from him and give Landry some help there, maybe we could see Landry up to touchdowns, up to consistency. But these Browns are looking very, very promising from a lot of fantasy perspectives. When you look at Mayfield, when you look at Landry bouncing back, when you look at Njoku probably improving, and maybe if they don't get anybody else, then Antonio Callaway has more of a breakthrough season. And I think you expect Chubb to play very, very well in the first half of the year. But, you know, with Hunt looming there late, that really cuts into his overall outlook in a very obvious way. But look, we have to see what's going to happen discipline-wise before we're going to be able to make any solid estimations as what's going to happen. All right, the other big news in fantasy football in the NFL is Kyler Murray has said now that he is completely dedicating himself to playing in the NFL and that he's going to enter the NFL draft. He's going to give a good chunk of his last year's signing bonus money back to the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's are still going to hold his baseball rights. Kyler Murray will now become the first ever guy, very likely, to ever be drafted in the first round in both Major League Baseball and the National Football League. The A's coming out publicly and saying that they expected this. They knew that they were taking a risk when they drafted Kyler Murray. They will still hold his rights. He will go on the restricted list. And now the speculation can really begin solidly about where Kyler Murray is drafted. Now, our Davis Maddock, if you want to download his spot from this past Sunday on the Roto Experts in the morning show, he said that Kyler Murray is actually his favorite quarterback coming out. And I've seen Kyler Murray going anywhere in mock drafts from within the top 10 to the back end of the first round. But I think now that that teams know for just 100% sure that he is going to play in the NFL, that his draft stock is going to go up, and I think he's going to be an easy top 15 pick. I couldn't see him dropping past, say, 13 to Miami or 15 to Washington. And you know, the big question about him is height. And USA Today has already come out and pointed out that a lot of people were worried about Russell Wilson's height when he came out of college when Wisconsin was drafted by the Seahawks. But you know, the Seahawks have tuned a very similar offensive set to what he played in college. And if Kyler Murray lands with the right team, that you might see the same sort of result in his rookie year. USA Today's making a good point that a lot of teams were kicking themselves for not drafting Russell Wilson, and they don't want the same thing to happen with Kyler Murray, where you're talking about a shorter, more mobile quarterback. Some similarities between the two that when Wilson was coming out of college, that they were worried about his intermediate throws across the middle of the field. You hear the same thing about Kyler Murray. And Murray's even shorter than Wilson. So USA Today also indicating that that he's going to be very scrutinized at the combine, et cetera. But when you look at him on film, there's so much that jumps out to you about Kyler Murray. You know, really throws a great pinpoint deep ball, great on the RPO, very excellent on the play action, throw it outside the numbers. Really processes things very quickly as to what's going on the field and has great mechanics and gets rid of the ball very, very quickly. There's some worries about his high percentage throws as compared to what he does downfield. There's concerns about durability because of his frame. And like Davis Maddock was saying earlier this week, if you don't put him behind a good offensive line and this kid takes a lot of hits, he could be an injury risk because, he's under 200 pounds. And, you know, if he takes a lot of big hits, you worry about a kid like that. But got some great protection in college and is very, very mobile. And The speed is actually off the charts. When I watch Kyler Murray on film, he reminds me of one of these very explosive wide receivers who just has tremendous separation gear to get away from a defense. When Kyler Murray hits the corner and he gets behind the defense, he could just be gone. You know, this guy is really, really capable of some big plays. He reminds me of these smaller John Brown big play type wide receivers where if he gets the ball and gets behind a defense, he could just be gone from anywhere on the field. And Kyler Murray, you know, you talk to different draft analysts, is he the top quarterback to come out? Because he's just so dynamic, he can make all the throws, and he has a mobility. I like a lot what I see of Drew Locke. He's one of my favorites, but you have to like a lot what you see with Murray on film, and he's definitely the best fantasy quarterback that's going to come out of this draft. I mean, if you have the number one pick in a rookie draft, how are you going to be able to pass on Kyler Murray knowing the dual kind of threat that he is? Now, we've heard a lot of this, dual threat quarterbacks coming out of college. Are they able to make the high percentage throws at the next level? We haven't seen that with Lamar Jackson. It was always a problem for Michael Vick. But Kyler Murray, if he gets into the right offense, he gets into the right system, doesn't seem like that kind of guy with his decision making, his mechanics, his pure abilities, that you're going to have to worry about, him being a very erratic thrower at the next level. Sometimes when he throws a deep ball, he doesn't always throw it in the right spot, but it's always within the catch radius of the wide receiver, it seems. So very few negatives on Murray, a lot of positives when it just comes to his overall play. Obviously, the one knock on him is his height. Now, the Giants sitting at number six, there's already been published reports that the Giants have come out and said that Murray's not our guy, that they want to go with a quarterback more in the traditional sense in terms of height, weight, etc. So there's been a lot of speculation, will another team jump ahead of the Giants and trade up to get Haskins? Or will we just fall to the Giants at six? I'm going to say with the way that quarterback is watered down, and some teams are so desperate to really get that sort of guy, that you could see teams maybe leaping ahead of the Giants to get two quarterbacks. I could see teams leaping ahead to get both Haskins and Kyler Murray, which would maybe Drew Locke would fall in the Giants at number six. But the Giants are a team themselves that maybe they want to jump up. You know, the Jets, we've talked about them before. They're sitting at that third pick, and they might not get either one of the pass rushers that they want, and then it could trade down. Tampa Bay is also another team that could possibly trade down at number five. So I think there's a very good shot, even though the quarterback class is not as good as it was last year, then you could see four quarterbacks going to the top 15 or maybe even the top 13 next year. Somebody's going to trade up to get one or at least two of those guys. So you figure Haskins will probably go in the top five, and Murray might too. And then the Giants at number six, you know, you see them maybe at the worst case scenario that Drew Locke will fall to them. And then maybe there's room for one more quarterback for Denver at number 10. But then you have the Dolphins sitting at number 13 and the Redskins sitting at number 15. That they're two teams they really want to get a quarterback, I think, in the first round, especially Miami. You know, we were talking about it Monday with my AFC East preview that, you know, that there's very likely they're going to move on to for Ryan Tannehill. They can clear a lot of salary cap room by doing it. And why not draft their quarterback of the future and start surrounding him with some pieces when you clear somebody in free agency, etc. So it makes a lot of sense. You know, maybe Miami is one of those teams. Davis Maddock was saying that, he doesn't agree with that scenario, that that he feels that the Dolphins are just wait and see what happens. But, you know, this is very much going to be on the fly sort of first round. And the Dolphins may not want to wait if they see two teams trade into the top five, or at least another team trade into the top five. They may become one of those two teams to trade into the top five. And, you know, there was already talk about how much John Elway loves Drew Locke. You know, will he have to trade up to get him as well? So it's going to be a very, very interesting first round, because there's at least three quarterbacks, I think, when you look at Haskins, when you look at Murray, and possibly even Locke, that these guys could all go within the top six or so in a very extreme sort of scenario. And then when you got Denver sitting at 10, Miami sitting at 13, and you have Washington sitting at 15, that it's going to be a very, very interesting first round. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement within the top half of the first round, you know, related to these quarterbacks. I saw one mock draft where Kyler Murray was actually going to the end of the first round to the New England Patriots. I just don't think that he's going to last that long now that we've heard that he's fully committed to football. So Kyler Murray generating a lot of excitement here. Going to be a top pick in the rookie draft no matter where he lands. Probably not going to be the Giants, as we just indicated, but this Jacksonville really want to go up and get a guy like that. Would Tom Coughlin be comfortable with a guy like Kyler Murray? I think the best fit for Kyler Murray of all these teams that are going to possibly be in the mix for him will probably be Miami. Because they can build around him. He can instantly put a jolt in the offense. He can instantly put a jolt into the fan base. A lot of excitement surrounding him. And if they improve the offensive line around him as well, you know, that's something that they have to do in Miami, is improve the blocking. But just from a terms of, you know, looking at a long-range sort of view, Kyler Murray would bring a lot of hope to Miami, something that they haven't had in a long time. Denver would be very, very interesting as well, because I think they're missing that one piece quarterback, and they have two very young wide receivers that Kyler Murray can come in and work with right away. But I would love to see Drew Locke drop to number 10, because I just love the deep ball that he throws. And working with those two young wide receivers, I think Drew Locke could be very, very exciting at number 10. So I'd kind of like to see Locke go to Denver at number 10 and maybe Murray to the Dolphins at number 13, or they trade up to get him. You know, that's a long-suffering fan base. I've talked about the Jets, but the Dolphins haven't had a good quarterback or anything to be excited about at the quarterback position since Dan Marino. You could argue that their best quarterback since Dan Marino was Chad Pennington. So Kyler Murray, they have to surround him with some pieces if they're going to do this, but he could come in and instantly galvanize that team, galvanize that fan base. And, you know, I think he's a guy who, if he doesn't have too many playmakers coming out of the gate right away, you could probably see him run a lot. I think there's a lot of talk out there, conjecture, that Kyler Murray could come in and really change the outlook of a team right away. And, if you know, that the Dolphins are a team that they're missing so much on offense that they can use a guy like Kyler Murray to really come in and change the scope of just everything that they do. Like I've been saying all week, they do have two running backs that could certainly help him out. Kenyon Drake and Kyler Murray would work very, very well together. And then I think they'd have to probably sign a big-name free agent and wide receiver. You know, maybe they did it if they get a Golden Tate, and then they get another wide receiver in the draft as well. You know, maybe Kyler Murray's playing in Miami, and all of a sudden, for the first time since the Marino days, you know, people down in South Florida can wear the jersey of a quarterback with respect and with pride. So I think it'd be a very interesting landing spot for him. All right, we'll be talking more fantasy baseball tomorrow. As I said, I have a mock draft on Wednesday night, and we'll start breaking that down. and lots more baseball news obviously coming with spring training starting. Thanks for listening to the Roto Experts, and we'll see you tomorrow.